1 Peter chapter 1 tonight. And actually, tonight we're going to read through the book of Revelation. I'm just joking. We're going to read just three verses. That's it. Just three verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read what Peter said. Now, I'm going to lay a little bit of context for where I'm going before we get into the scripture. So, last few days especially, there have been a lot of different things going on to cause and strike fear. Some in this region, we even had, you know, some scares in a local high school this week. We've had, you know, different things going on nearby in the region with shootings and so many different things. And it's just, you know, there's a constant reminder that there's an enemy out there. Constantly being reminded there's an enemy out there and that as believers, we need to keep our guard up. Somebody say amen. You know, God has given us everything we need to stay protected and to stay covered and stay shielded. It's one of the reasons why he gave us this word as a shield of faith. The only time you're ever vulnerable and in trouble is when you lay that shield down. All right, so we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture that's going to speak to this tonight, and I'm excited to dive into this. So follow along. Be honest with you, I have no intention of preaching a long time tonight, all right? I really just want to get this truth in your heart, and so if you'll just give me some attention and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, I believe this really will stir you up and challenge you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, this is what Peter said. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy. He's given us new birth into a living hope. Thank God for a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now that right there, that's the gospel. That's the absolute gospel. It's not about joining some church or being a member at this place and transferring. No, it's not about any of that. It's straight up gospel. I love that. Praise be to God the Father for Lord Jesus Christ, his great mercy. God's great mercy. He's given us this new birth. In other words, born again to a living hope. All right. Anytime you read about hope in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, it speaks to the resurrection of Jesus Christ because all of our hope is tied to the resurrection. Listen, if Jesus is alive, if he is who he said he was, and he rose from the dead, like we're about to celebrate this Sunday, then everything in this book should be read and should be followed. But if Jesus did not raise from the dead, none of this should be read or followed. It's either all or it's nothing. I'm being straightforward honest with you. If what he said is true and he rose from the dead, now there are eyewitnesses, we could get into a whole lot of that, but that's a message for Sunday. But if what Jesus did was true and he rose from the dead and he's alive right now, then everything in this book is truth and it matters to you and it matters to me. All right, and so anytime we talk about hope, it's tied to Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead. All right, in other words, our hope is that since Jesus was dead and he became alive, when we become in Christ, all the things that we were in the past, that's dead, but we experience new life in Jesus. That also means that we'll be raised up to heaven to be with him when we pass away. All right, and so all these things tied to the resurrection, and then he goes on to say that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, all right? It's not like some bank account or some investment account or some stock market account where you make an investment, you know, and it may make you money or you may lose money. It's nothing like that. He says this is something that is eternal, all right? This is an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you forever. That's valuable information right there. Then verse 5, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm going to read it again. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So now let's look at this verse. Let's break it down. Let's really look at it. I want to point a couple things out. Now in the King James Version, the authorized King James Version, he uses the word, instead of shielded, he used the word kept, or kept by God's power. I actually think the NIV has improved upon it just a little bit here because there's a little bit better word. Guarded, he uses. It's a military term here. And it implies through faith we're shielded or we're guarded through God's power until the coming of salvation that is revealed, the Bible says, in the last time. I want to focus on this last part of this, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So the Bible teaches that salvation is past, Salvation is present and salvation is future. Salvation is past, salvation is present, salvation is future, right? Everybody who is a Christian in here, there was a moment where you prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, all right? Where you chose to follow Jesus. How many of you have had that moment? You remember, you made that decision, you asked Jesus into your heart, you prayed the prayer of salvation, and Jesus became your Lord, all right? For most of us, that happened in the past, all right? But then the Bible says also there is a salvation that is in the present. It's in the present. In other words, our salvation, the Bible teaches us to seek it out day by day. Salvation is a day-by-day process where I am constantly pursuing God's will for my life, constantly pursuing day by day the salvation of the Lord to be active in my life. I don't want to just drop what God's calling me to do or drop who he's called me to be day by day. I have a good day, I follow Jesus. I have a bad day, you know, I go home and cry. I don't want to be that way, all right? So he also teaches that salvation is a present thing, all right? Now, the Bible also talks about salvation as a future event. Talks about it as a future event, all right? So he says here, look into the coming of salvation. Well, hold up. I thought I am saved. Well, you are, and you were, and you will be. Do you understand? You are saved, you were saved, and you will be saved, all right? And I'll break this down. What he's referring to is when Jesus Christ returns, that coming of salvation revealed in the last time, that tells me that there is a future tense here. Other words, we're still battling with stuff. All right, I'm saved right now, but I'm by no means even close to being perfected. All right, neither are you, so don't look at me all squirrely. And all right, we're just not perfect yet. We still deal with stuff. We still make mistakes. We still, you know, there's a devil who tempts us. Most of the time we do good. And we overcome it. Sometimes we blow it, all right? But there's no perfection that exists right now in our salvation. So what he's saying is that there will be a day where Jesus comes back. And when Jesus comes back, or that day where you go to be with him, hopefully he comes back before you go to be with him. Somebody say amen. Be kind of nice. So when Jesus comes back, where salvation will be perfected, because guess what? We'll be in the presence of Almighty God. And at that point, you don't have to worry about a devil tempting you. You don't have to worry about your flesh or your physical man, you know, stumbling and causing problems. None of that temptation exists anymore. None of that evil messes with you anymore. You're in the ultimate presence of God. And so that's what he's referring to here, okay? So we were saved, we are saved, and we will be saved. All right, past, present, future is what he's talking about here, the coming of Christ. Thank God we'll have a different body. We'll all have muscles. We'll all be slim and full heads of hair. I don't know. I'm just making that up. But it's a nice thought, right? So anyway, so Peter's talking about salvation being the past, present, and future. But what he's pointing out here is this awesome, amazing promise that we just tend to skip over, that I really wanted to emphasize and point out, because this is what I really wanted to dig into, all right? And honestly, we don't think enough about it. As believers, we really should be focused and targeting in on this. Some of us need to be reminded of this, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. One of the reasons why I'm going to remind you this and why Peter was reminding us is because we still have a tendency to do things ourselves, all right? We still have a tendency to feel like, I got to do more. I've got to take on this, and if it's, you know, and so we take a lot of these things ourselves, but two, the reason why is because I'm still convinced of this, and I started teaching on this a bit last week, and I'm going to continue down this vein this week. We aren't seeking and we aren't praying enough for faith to increase in our life. We're not. How can I put this the best way? We are allowing church services to supplement faith. That's what's happening in 2019 in the church, universally. We are supplementing faith with church services. That is not a bad thing in the sense that people are in church. I'm so pumped and fired up that you're here, or people watching or listening. I'm pumped for that because we want to grow. But this can't be all it takes for you to grow. This can't be your only source of faith growing in your life. That's not enough. It is absolutely not enough. So what happens is if you're supplementing church services and you're hearing a message 30 minutes, 40 minutes once a week, twice a week maybe at the most, then what's happening is because you're only getting a little bit of measure of growth and daily faith growing, you are taking upon the pressure of your spiritual growth all on yourself. I got to do more. and you're not learning what faith is all about, and you're not pleasing God enough. All right, remember I taught last week, if you weren't here, the message is online. All right, faith, the Bible teaches there's only one way to please God, all right? That is faith, faith in God. So your faith is either pleasing God or it's displeasing God. It's doing one of the two, all right? So listen, that's something that we don't ask enough for when we pray is, God, increase our faith. Give me more faith. We'll ask for more love. We'll ask for more power. We'll ask for more of the Holy Spirit. We'll ask for new cars and more money. We'll ask for all kinds of things from God. But the one thing we don't ask enough of, which is the one thing, by the way, that pleases God, like I mentioned, is for more faith. For more faith. All right? Interesting enough, everything else hinges on having more faith. If God is pleased with your faith, guess what God does in your life? Blesses, rewards, takes care of. That's how this works. And so instead of asking for all the other things, ask Him for the faith and the other things come. All right, so anyway, we all want more faith in our life, right? That's what the disciples asked Jesus. They said, Lord, would you increase our faith? They understood that it wasn't just manufactured. It wasn't something they could manufacture on their own. And Jesus knew that too. He knew that too. All right? This is how this works. So anyway, getting into this. He says, God has a promise. That verse says that believers who are Christians, God has a promise for us that we are shielded, we are guarded, and it's this picture of a military outpost, all right, of a fortress, all right, a bunch of soldiers out in the desert somewhere, but they're surrounded by a fort, all right? They're surrounded by some type of surrounding, you know, impenetrable shield of some type, all right? I keep thinking the word fort or outpost or something comes to mind, because so what happens is even though there's enemies out there to attack them, they're shielded, they're guarded, they're protected because of that fort. And the Bible says there's a promise, all right? That's what the Bible says in Psalms, that God to us is a fortress, a strong tower, right? You remember that passage? So God has a promise in this passage of Scripture to protect us. Somebody say amen. Amen. He has a promise here to protect us, all right? To keep us, to shield us, to guard us, to surround us, to make sure that as believers, we are covered. We are protected, all right? I want to analyze this even further. So there's this promise that God will shield us from sin, Satan, strategies of the enemy, strategies of demons. God doesn't ask you to do that. God does this all by himself. This isn't something God says, you got to do this and you've got to do that. No, God's going to do this all on his own. This is something he promises. So God doesn't just save, he keeps. He doesn't just save, he protects. So when you give your heart to Jesus and you follow God by faith, God doesn't just save your soul, he makes sure that you stay saved. He wants to make sure that you stay safe. That's how he works, and that is a promise in God's word, all right? Now here's a mistake that a lot of us make. We know that God wants to save us, that God, you know, has to save us. But when it comes to keeping the right path and doing the right things and making the right choices and avoiding the temptations and, you know, all the things that we deal with in the Christian life, all right, we have this idea that we need to just try real hard. Well, I've got to just try real hard to do the right thing and try real hard to be the right person and try real hard. But Peter says, no, that's not how this works. You are kept. You are shielded, you are guarded as a military fortification, whatever you want to say. You are covered in the spiritual realm. There is a wall around you that the enemy cannot penetrate for those of us that are following Jesus by faith. God says, this is a promise I give you. All right, this is how this works. If you understand this, and if you receive this revelation, it helps us to do away with this trying mentality, and it helps you to start to live with the peace of God and follow him by faith. I get requests all the time from believers through Facebook messages, sometimes phone calls and prayer requests from believers who they want prayer, and of course I'm always willing to pray and agree, but they're coming at me with, I'm just going through it. I've got things attacking me. I've got the enemy after me. I feel like I've got demonic oppression. I'm like, did you say oppression or possession? I'm oppressed. All right, what is it? I've got people talking negatively about me. I've got all these things going on. And while they're talking, this scripture is what pops in my mind. And I'm the whole time, I want to just scream, but you're shielded. You're protected. You are guarded. You are surrounded. What you're telling me right now is, I know we all go through something, but you got to get back into faith first. You're guarded. You're safe. You're protected. God's given us this promise. I'm thinking, gosh, you just don't know what's going on here, all right? But that leads me to a question, all right? Because this is, if you're a thinking person, you're an intelligent person, logically, that you should come to this conclusion then. This is where I came. When I was studying this, this is where I thought, what would be a good question to follow that? All right, Pastor Josh, you said I'm shielded, I'm covered. Well, then, if I'm shielded and I'm covered and I'm protected by the power of God, all right, what is the sense of being a Christian and being saved, though, if the enemy can attack me anytime he wants? All right, what's the sense of being, you know, what good is it being saved? You know, what kind of salvation is that if that any time the enemy attacks me, I get crushed? If any time the enemy attacks me, I get beat up. I get wore out. I get hurt. I get, you know. And I thought, we got to break this down because there's a key component here that we tend to gloss over, just glass over, whatever the word is, look over real quickly and don't pay attention to it, all right? Let's analyze this. The Bible says we are shielded and we are guarded. Everybody wants to be shielded and guarded. You want to be protected? Somebody say amen. I know I do. All right, we want that experience. Every day when we get up, every day when I wake up, tomorrow morning when I wake up, I want to be protected. I want to be guarded by the power of God. I want that protection and that guarding over my children, over my family. I pray these things over my entire family every single morning, every single day. I cover these things in prayer, all right? I don't want to be protected by a church. Churches will let people down. I love this church, but we're not perfect. Churches, you don't want to be protected by a pastor. Pastors aren't perfect either. You know who you want to be protected by? God. All right? That's why I don't follow into this preacher worship. I don't follow into worshiping people, all this pastor following, and I love it. I'm all for honoring powerful men and women of God who are leading and guiding us, but it gets a little too far because I'm thinking they're not perfect. They're not going to be there. All right? God will be. So my heart and our heart in this church isn't to point you to a person other than that person being Jesus. We want your faith in God, not in a church, not in a preacher. Who? God. This word. All right? That's who we want. I want that every single day for my life, every single day for your life. All right? Shielded and guarded by the power of God. Remember, God's word says, I began a good work. I want to complete that work. I want to finish that work. I don't like just leaving. God doesn't like leaving things unfinished. He's a God that when he starts something, he finishes something. He intends to finish you. He intends to complete you. He intends to perfect you. That's his goal. That's his heart for you, all right? He wants to complete it. He wants to save and keep you. Remember that. That's part of God's heart. That's who he is, all right? But again, I've heard people share some things when they go through a difficult time. They go through a struggle. And what ends up happening is, I'll share with you in a minute, but what happens is when I've heard people say things, we can have a tendency to slip into this negative pattern of thinking, all right, and misidentifying what God's word is telling us, and that's why I want to take this next part. I want to spiritually confront some things, if you'll allow me. Some of this might be in you. Some of this is stuff that we need to deal with, but we don't like to be spiritually confronted in 2019 because everybody wants to be happy and feel good and feel special and feel wanted and feel, everybody wants the good feelings, but nobody wants to deal with discipline or confrontation. Then they get mad and, you know, leave you a bad review on Facebook. But if you really care about your salvation and you really want to grow in your faith, you need to be in a place that is willing to spiritually confront you, and you need to be willing to receive it. I need to be willing to receive it. I'm not exempt from this as a pastor or a preacher. I'm very much not exempt from this. In fact, us preachers, we are held even more accountable. Billy would say amen. All right, that's how we do it. So I'm going to spiritually confront this because the word of God is confrontational to us as well. So the Bible, getting back to this verse, who are guarded by the power of God through faith, Or as the NIV has it, who by faith are guarded by the power of God until the day when they'll inherit their whole salvation, their full salvation, okay? Who are guarded, all right? Not automatically guarded. How are they guarded? By faith. They are guarded by faith. And this is where we tend to miss it. We jump to a conclusion that because God is a good God and God is always good, isn't he always good? That he's also always guarding me. But that's not what Peter said. We assume that protection and that guarding and that keeping is automatic. But that's not what Peter said. If that's what Peter had intended and that's what God had intended, he would have left out some very important words, but he didn't. These important words were by faith. By faith. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. Who through what? Faith. Are shielded by God's power. So faith in God is what brings the power of God to guard me. It's my faith in God, my trust in God, that's what ultimately brings the power of God to shield me, to keep me, to protect me. That's why Christians, you know, all the time, that's why they make that mistake. They assume that God is guarding. They assume that God is protecting because of, again, one of two reasons. One, they're trying to do too much on their own. In other words, they're trying to get by without using God's word. They're believing and asking God things in prayer without first filtering it or standing upon a word of God. Or two, through their asking, they're supplementing church instead of building their faith day by day. It happens all the time. So you get a group of people who assume they're in faith because they went to church one time this month, and the enemy attacks, and when he attacks, they think that they've got the shield of faith up because they went to church. But is going to church the same as having the shield of faith? No. So then they get stabbed by the enemy, shot with an arrow, and down they go. Pastor Josh, and I'm like, it's right there in 1 Peter. This is what so many people go through, all right? I know I'm kind of wild tonight. Again, I had a coffee and like two espressos this afternoon, so. But doesn't God guard me all the time? No, he doesn't. Through faith is how he guards you. Through faith is how that power is released. That's what Peter's getting to, all right? But it doesn't make sense. Well, I mean, if it doesn't have to make sense. Otherwise, listen, if this wasn't true, then no Christian would ever backslide. First of all, they wouldn't, all right? If God just always guarded us, always protected us, we never got tempted and we never failed to those temptations, then no Christian would ever backslide. But we know that's definitely not true, all right? No preacher would ever make a wreck of his life. No pastor who we love and adore would ever make a mistake and fail. And we see things, you know, unfortunately happen like that on a regular basis. And we know this. I mean, even 2 Timothy 4, Paul, who was traveling, said Demas has dropped off. He's in love with the world now, all right? This is something Paul was dealing with 2,000 years ago. It's what we deal with. And so here's the tension in this. So those who are in faith, through faith, guarded by the power of God, shielded. Remember, it's like this wall of Holy Spirit fire that nothing can penetrate. Nothing can get through, all right? Nothing can get through it. But it's, again, through faith, all right? Just like, is everybody saved? No. How are we saved? By faith in Christ, all right? Let's say that same principle here. So God says, I'll guard you and I'll keep you if you have faith. And you can't just assume you've got faith because you go to church sometimes. That's not how this works. This is why Satan is always, always after breaking your faith foundation. That's why he's always after, you know, stealing that word that you get, stealing that word that you pray out, stealing that revelation that's in your heart. because if he can steal that faith, if he can break that faith, then he also understands that you aren't in a position to be guarded and protected. You're not in a position that pleases God. And so what the enemy does strategically, he breaks up, steals your faith, robs you of that faith. Sometimes we just hand it over to him because we're gullible, all right? But then what ends up happening is he gets you making promises that he knows and you know you won't keep. God, I promise I'll do better next week. God, I promise I'll read my Bible next week. God, I promise I'll pray 2 hours next week. God, I promise. How many been there? I have. So we get on to, instead of accepting God's promise to us and accepting the condition that he gives us this promise, the promise of guarding, keeping, protecting, the condition being we have to stay in faith, we start making promises to God that we have no intention of keeping. It just makes us feel better about ourselves in that moment because we know we've been living without faith. Thereby, we've not been pleasing God. It's kind of making sense, hopefully, to you. But this is what the word is God says, all right? That's why the enemy, man, he'll come at you just like fake news, just whispering, hey, just make God a promise. Make him a promise. And you know, he pretends and acts as if he's the Holy Spirit in your life. So he'll whisper. And you're like, oh, it was a whisper. That must be the Holy Spirit. Make a promise. God, I'm so sorry. I repent. And I believe you're sincere. I'm sincere when I repent. And I'm also sincere when I'm making these promises. God, I'm so sorry. I promise. I won't. I'll stop. I'll do better. I'll do this. I'll do. And that whole time the enemy is like, oh my God, I've got him right where I want him. He doesn't have any faith at all because he's trying. And faith in God is not about trying. Faith in God is about trusting. Do you understand that? Faith in God is not about trying. Faith in God is about trusting. It's about trusting, all right? We're like sharks. What is it they throw out in the ocean to attract sharks? What's it? Chum? That's what we're like to the enemy. We're like chum. He's just coming after us. Man, we're ready. Yeah, it's kind of gross. That was a bad illustration, all right? But that's what it feels like because he's coming right after us, and we can't do anything about it because we aren't protected. We assume in our mind, because I made a promise to God, that I'm back in faith, but that's not faith. You making promises to God. Faith is trusting in God's promise to me. We got to fix this, people. My peeps, it's Easter. We can say peeps this season, right? We got to fix this. We got to fix this, all right? Haven't we all experienced this? Haven't we had these moments where we got nervous or we got in a panic, and instead of trusting God, we stopped praying, we stopped asking God for more faith, and we just started making promises. Well, God, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. God, if you'll please come through here, then I will. It happens. It happens more than I wish it happened, all right? I mean, we've all felt ourselves weak in the face of temptation, all right? How many of you have messed up one time? How many of you have messed up 900 times like me? We've all messed up, okay? We all, you know, nobody in here is perfect, all right? And we deal with this on a regular basis, all right? And so when we're going through this, messed up, all these things, all right, we tend to think in our head, but I thought I was, you know, guarded by God. Well, I would have been if I would have stayed in faith. But I dropped that shield in that moment, and I didn't do what was necessary and what was required in that moment. All right? And that's so important to know the difference. So through faith, and this explains a lot of things, I believe. It has to me. I'm picking out one passage of Scripture. It explains a lot of things. That's why there's a lot of people that you meet, and this is such a simplistic thinking, but there's a lot of people that we meet a Christian who failed, or we meet a believer. We've heard from a believer who failed, all right? Or they bring someone who's really blown it big time, all right? Well, I don't think they're a Christian because they messed up. What? And you messed up? Aren't you still a Christian? Well, I mean, it's not the same. Well, how is it not the same? Well, because they're them and I'm me. What is it? You know, I think about that. We've all messed up. Well, then why is it then Satan has that access? Why is it then when we go through some of these battles, it feels like he's winning? Be honest with me. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Again, it's midweek worship. We're cool. We're chill. How many of you have ever been in a moment where you've been in a struggle, there's been an attack, and you honestly had that thought, God, the enemy's winning? I have. I've had those moments. It feels like I'm getting my butt kicked. All right, what's the deal with that? Why is it that the enemy feels like he's winning all these battles? All right, because we are kept, shielded by God's power through faith. It has to be through faith. Everything hinges on faith. Okay, remember, it's not trying, it's trusting. All right, it's not running, it's resting. I got no more cool slogans to throw out there. Those are the two I could think of. All right? That's it. So we find our strength in the Lord through faith. What does that mean, Pastor Josh? What does it mean? It means trusting. Trusting this word. All right? Believing this word. Believing that God's word is true. Knowing this word. Doesn't mean you have to memorize the whole Bible, but it means that you better be standing on this word when you are facing a battle, a struggle, and a temptation. Otherwise, you are not being guarded. You are not being kept. You think you are, but you're not. And the enemy's got you right where he wants you, and this is where a lot of people end up being, okay? And so it's so important, trusting, all right? Salvation here, when we are talking about salvation, we talked about being past, present, and future. Salvation here really refers to two things, all right? One is that word salvation means deliverance from danger. It means deliverance from danger, all right? But it also means deliverance from disease or sickness, all right? You could look at danger from a couple perspectives. One, you could look at it from a physical danger. That salvation means God will save us, preserve us, keep us from a physical danger. You could also look at it from, it'll be salvation from the judgment and wrath of God. That's a great thing also, all right? And we've been delivered because of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid from that danger, all right, because the Bible says that he fulfilled the law, washed away our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, and now we're saved, all right, accepted by God. Not because of ourselves, but because of who? Jesus, the price he paid for us, all right? But it also has this, you know, a connotation of disease here. It connects to disease, and it speaks of this disease, and you could talk about both that in two perspectives. Disease being sickness, physical sickness, mental sickness, all right, emotional sickness. We've been delivered and set free from that also, but it's also the sickness of sin. All right? And all sin is tied to selfishness. All of it. It's all tied to selfishness, self-seeking. That's what sin is, all right? Sin is rooted in pleasing self. Sin is rooted in thinking of yourself being more important than someone else, or even more, you know, devastating, thinking yourself more important than obeying God. What you want to do is more important than what God wants you to do, right? That always leads to sin. And God says, listen, through Jesus, not only have I forgiven of you of your sins, not only have I delivered you from judgment, I'm also going to keep you safe, protected from harm, and I'm also going to make sure that I heal your bodies. This is a huge promise that God has for us. But again, it comes through faith. This guarding, this keeping, this, you know, watching over. It's all through faith. This is what God's word is teaching us. And this is where I think so many of us have missed this, all right? I was thinking of how can I illustrate this in a way to communicate the faith that God's really implying here. And I thought of the word cling. All right, I thought of the word cling, and I was reminded when my kids were younger, we have a pool in our backyard, all right, and we taught our kids to swim, and when they were little, they would jump in the water, and, you know, if you've ever watched a little kid learning how to swim, they really just stay in the same place until they get tired, and then they start to sink until they start to figure it out and, you know, kick their legs right and all this. But when we were teaching our kids to swim, kids would be in the water, and they would swim, you know, heads above. They look like they're drowning, really. And then all of a sudden, you'd see their arms get tired, and at that moment, a little bit of desperation kicks in, because they know I'm too far away from the sides, and I'm in over my head. So you know what they would do? Start reaching out for dad or reaching out for mom. And at that moment, they would grab, cling, wrap their arms around our necks, and take some real deep breaths, because they knew in that moment they were safe. They knew in that moment they were okay, all right? This is the kind of desperation that this is talking about when our faith is in God. It is a constant, daily reminding ourselves that without faith in God, I'm swimming in over my head and I'm too far away from the sides to be saved if I get exhausted. So stop trying to do this on my own. Take my arms, wrap them around God, cling to this word so that every single day of my life, I'm safe. I'm kept. I'm guarded. I'm preserved. This is what this is referring to here, okay? It's this simple act of clinging, trusting to God. This clinging, trusting to God that releases the power of God. It's not trying. It's not, oh, I'm frustrated because it's not working. No, rest. Get in this word, cast those cares, and rest. Let God's word work. Let it work. And stay in faith. It is not just an every morning thing. It is an hour by hour, day by day thing. That is how our faith is supposed to work in our lives. I know that we get busy and not every second of every hour are we thinking of faith. But it needs to be so instinctive in the heart of a believer. So instinctive that your first reaction when anything gets a little weird or anything gets a little off is to immediately get to the Word of God. Immediately go to that faith. Immediately go to that place where you're guarded, where you're kept, where you're safe. Immediately go to where the power of God is. That's where you and I need to be as believers. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us guarded. That's what keeps us safe, all right? You know, the Bible teaches us that the just shall live by faith. Not just have faith when we need it, not just have faith when I need something from God. Not just have faith when I need a breakthrough or have faith when I need a healing or have faith when, you know, I don't have enough money to pay my bills or have faith when I need extra money to go on a nice vacation or whatever it is we want or whatever it is we need, right? That's not the only time we have faith. The just shall what? Live by faith. We live by faith. The reason why we live by faith is because there's constantly an enemy out there who is looking for weaknesses. Here's what I want you to know about the Holy Spirit, okay? If you are, in your relationship with God, pursuing your faith, pursuing the Holy Spirit, I want my weaknesses to be exposed and revealed by the Holy Spirit of God, not by the enemy because he's found a weakness. He's found that I've lowered my shield. The Holy Spirit will absolutely show you your weaknesses if you'll pray and ask for more faith. So that way, when the Holy Spirit shows you, you can get the shield, you can get the armor, you can cover those weaknesses, and the enemy doesn't have a vulnerability to attack. This is where we need to get to. This is where we need to be as believers, all right? It's not about you making promises to God. It's about you trusting God's promise to you. That's what it's about. That's what we got to get back to, all right? I wrote this down, and this was really just my confession time. I wrote this down in my notes. Why is it, though, knowing this, right? I'm a preacher. I know this. My dad has preached this for longer than I've been alive, all right? Why is it that I know this, but I still have moments where I've had great faith, and other times it's like my faith completely disappeared? I wrote that and highlighted it in my notes. Josh, what is the deal? Why is it that there are times where I've had great faith and then other times I'm like, you know, where is it? What is the deal with that, all right? Anybody ever have that happen to you? You've got one day where you're like so strong in your faith and then the next day you're going, man, I think I'd go to hell today. I don't know what it is. You know, maybe that's a bit extreme. But I'm like, you know, the Bible says the faith of a mustard seed and I'm looking for something even, I'm like, I can't even find that, all right? Is there anything smaller than a mustard seed? I don't know. Sesame seed? On the bun at Burger King? I don't know. Right? But if you ever find yourself feeling like your life is back and forth, being tossed up and down, yo-yo, so to speak, all right? A ball bouncing up and down. Everything is always up and down, shaky, back and forth. This is where you got to get to, all right? You've got to get back to being kept in God's power through your faith. You've got to zero back in on your faith in God, which means you need to stop praying for blessings, stop praying for, you know, stuff, stop praying for more love, more power, more. How you get that is by praying, God, would you increase my faith? And then put yourself in a position for your faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So stay in the word of God. That hearing doesn't have to be you hearing Josh preach or Pastor Dale preach or some other great minister preach. That hearing is you speaking, reading this word out loud so your ears hear it. There's no greater preacher than the word of God. And so it is you hearing, growing, getting back to praying and believing God for your faith to grow, all right? Stop just trying, making promises, and get back to trusting, all right? And I listen, once you're in a position where you are trusting God and you have a faith that God is guarding and protecting and his powers that released in your life, at that moment, you'll be more in a position to hear him clearly on how to activate that faith in practical ways, all right? Because what happens is a lot of us, again, we've been in church and so we've heard what we're supposed to do, so we just go into quoting something. But ain't any faith in any of that, all right? Because we're just rehearsing something that we heard someone say that we should be doing instead of actually getting on our knees, taking a moment, closing the iPad down, closing the phone, turning off the TV, and getting on our knees and saying, Heavenly Father, would you, in the name of Jesus, increase my faith right here, right now? I need my faith to be in God, not in some quote, not in some, you know, something I pinned on Pinterest, not in something I read on Twitter or on Facebook. I need my faith to be in God. God, speak to your son, speak to your daughter right now. Give me a word. I need a word to stand on. I need a word to believe. And you get in this word. You believe this word. You pray this word. God activates his power, guards you, keeps you, protects you. Again, it's like a wall of Holy Spirit fire that no demon, no devil can get through in that moment. You're at that moment, you are safe. You are. And it's also in that moment where God starts speaking, all right, now here's what I want you to do. Here's the step I want you to take. Here's the direction I want you to go. All right? This is where we've got to get back to. All right? God's teaching us how to, again, execute and live by faith once again in our lives. All right? We've gone through all kinds of things. I've gone through things. You've gone through things. Times where we've messed up. Times where we, you know, were up. Times where we were down. But I will tell you this, and this is how I'm going to close tonight, right? If you are a real believer, if you're a real believer, you can't stand separation from God. I'm just going to be super straight up honest with you. If you're a real believer, you can't stand the sin. You can't. It irritates you. It bothers you. It aggravates you because it is a separation. And you should never be. It's just like my children were not comfortable being far away from Dad in that pool because they knew the further Dad is away from them, the more likely it is when they get tired. That was a terrible sound effect. They bubble up, all right? They sink, and Dad's not there. So they wanted to stay safe. They wanted to stay in a safe proximity. They wanted to stay close to Dad. We should be the same with our Heavenly Father, all right? I'm also going to say this. If you're okay living in sin, I doubt that you're really saved. Ooh, I don't like that. You don't have to. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 says, once you've heard the word of God and you know the truth, but you continue to live in a sinful way, that is not how saved folks live. That was the last part was my paraphrase. And so we should never be comfortable being separated from God. Again, this faith in God is a clinging. It is a trusting. It is a, God, I need you. I can't breathe. I can't swim. I can't live without you, without your word. I need it. The goal is not to see how far away from God I can swim on my own. Hey, look at me. I'm doing great on my own. And then you go down. Oh, God, where are you? No. It's to stay as close to God the entire time in the pool. That's why we live by faith. That's why we trust God. That's why we apply this word. And that's also why God said, I'm going to guard you, but it's how? Through faith. God wants you close.